time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
A centering pass. Backhand scores! The GOAT! Frederick Gauthier! And the Leafs, in the first 5 minutes and 52 seconds, have scored three times. And it's now 3-1.
There we go, the GOAT. He wasn't the GOAT tonight. I don't think he's the greatest of all time either. Somewhere in between Freddie Gauthier and that Toronto Maple Leaf fourth line coming up big tonight as the Toronto Maple Leafs just score a shorthanded goal and take a 5-3 lead late in the game against the Buffalo Sabres. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Once the game ends, of course, we'll talk a lot about the game tonight at Scotiabank Arena, but we have no shortage of fodder. Savvy's been busy today, his first trade deadline day on Sportsnet, breaking trades, being part of the David Amber panel with Doug McLean. Kevin Bieksa, who was the other person there?
Colby Armstrong.
Colby Armstrong, there you go. Great job. Great job today.
I'm exhausted.
I know, but you're not going to pack it in. You've got your snack there. You've got your water there.
Yeah, my wife told me to eat.
Yeah, you got to get some nourishment.
So I got a salad and a bottle of water.
That's right. As long as I was eating a salad earlier too, we have all that. And so talk about lots of exciting things. How are you handling the first game in the without Par Lindholm?
I'm missing him, Gord. I feel like this is a big loss. There was a rumor that he actually shoots right-handed for a bit, and the Jets picked him up as a right-handed centerman, so it'll be interesting to see. But no, not a lot of movement on the Leafs front today. I guess they're happy with what they have, and they didn't feel that they could make their team better, so that's usually what happens. I heard they were on to something more larger. Mm-hmm. Dubas was looking at something bigger.
Yeah.
And it didn't come to fruition. So maybe we'll have to wait and see to the draft.
Was there a team or two you heard them talking about in the bigger
deal? LA is kind of the team that comes to the forefront. There was a bigger deal to be made and make it.
Which would make sense because they certainly were sellers. They're certainly
they
sellers.
They are. And I guess they couldn't come up with something reasonable by 3 o'clock. So they end up with Nick Batan and Nick Batiste.
Jose Bautista?
Okay.
Yeah. No, Nick Bautista, we saw a play for the Buffalo Sabres. He's since moved on from Buffalo, but that's a guy that's a good, probably Toronto Marley depth pickup right now, where Batan will come up and play kind of like Par Lindholm did, I would think, be an extra forward.
Yeah, and they need an extra forward now, but not a very active day for Kyle Dubas, but you know what? This team has played well most of the season, Gord, and you know what? They got to find it within, and they've played Tampa Bay well this year. They outplayed them one game, but they lost, and then they beat them the next night. So obviously Kyle Dubas felt confident with the club he had in front of him, and here they are.
And again, just to touch on tonight's game, interesting game. You heard in the update, 1-0 Buffalo leads after one period of play, dominates the Leafs. It's like the Leaf-Montreal game. Except it wasn't 3-0, it was 1-0. Outshoots them 16-6, and the Leafs, in a matter of seconds, score three goals, and then get four in total unanswered goals in the second period. And then they run into some penalty problems, and only the second time the Leafs have been down on a 5-on-3. Sabres made it 4-2 on the power play early in the third period, made it 4-3, and we had ourselves a hockey game, and this shorthanded goal they just had was a fortuitous one for Sammy Kapanen, that just the Sabre player again on the power play just fell at the blue line, and Kapanen had a breakaway. He, as his dad, did I call him Sammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because his dad was in the crowd. So there we go. So Kasperi Kapanen, his dad Sammy Kapanen was in the crowd. So saw him cheering on there, and he got the power play goal, or shorthanded goal. So right now in the waning seconds, it's 5-3.
And it was a beautiful goal. When Kapanen's taken off this year going on a breakaway, no one's catching him. It's a matter of if he's going to score or not, because no one's catching him from behind. And this time he shot low blocker. There was a beautiful goal, and the Leafs are up 5-3. Looks like they're going to hang on to this one here with really no time left on the clock.
Yeah. Win over the Buffalo Sabres again, getting back. As we said, it's a trade deadline day today. And I got involved a little bit. Savvy got involved in a big way. I know people interested about different moves. And, one was first the big one, Mark Stone, which was interesting. that it thought he was going to go to Winnipeg, a lot of places. Then it seems like George McPhee, when he gets involved in something, he gets involved in something, and he lands Mark Stone, and he then signs an 8-year contract to stay with Vegas. I know it was something. I think a lot of people expected more, that Ottawa was going to get more, whether that's fair or unfair on the trade deadline, I don't know. But I think a lot of Ottawa fans were underwhelmed.
Very underwhelmed. You know, you look at it at the end of the day from an Ottawa perspective, when you sit back and if for all the stuff you had Mark Stone, Matt Duchene, and Ryan Zingle. You end up with one first-round draft choice, three second-round draft choices, and a couple B prospects. But I'm hearing that Eric Brandstrom is a player.
Well, he's in the AHL right now, but that's the one, yeah, because he's a first-round pick. He's playing now in the AHL with the Vegas Chicago Wolves.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that'll be the key. If this guy ends up being a stud on defense or a quality NHL defenseman, that'll be value, but that remains to be seen.
That's always the toughest part of these trades. You were a general manager, and when you're trading for prospects, you don't know how they're going to pan out in the NHL, so it makes it tough. But they seem like they have – he was a first-round draft choice. That's why, you know, I hear a lot of people saying Ottawa didn't get a first-round draft pick in this deal, but they did. They got Eric Brands Eric Brandstrom. So, exactly. It's all calculating down the road. Will this guy be an NHL player? And that's yet to be seen.
And probably why you say Eric Goodbranson, because he also got traded. He gets to go to Pittsburgh. That's kind of nice for him from Vancouver. Tanner Pearson, second time so Carl Hagelin gets traded a couple of times. Now Tanner Pearson, a couple of times, he goes to Vancouver. Eric Goodbranson goes to Pittsburgh on that team. But the other, we talked about Kevin Hayes, and it seems like whatever, Winnipeg couldn't do the deal for Mark Stone. Maybe couldn't do the contract for Mark Stone as well. I don't know exactly. But they get Kevin Hayes, and that's a pretty nice one. They give up Brendan Lemieux, Claude Lemieux's son, a first-round pick this year, which is conditional, a conditional pick in 2022 as well.
Yeah, and a nice move here by Winnipeg. Obviously, they, like you said, I don't think there was a deal to be struck with Stone down the road, a future deal. So they went out and made the move they thought they could make in Kevin Hayes. And I like this pickup. I think this makes their second line big with Laine and maybe Ehlers, a little bit of speed on one wing. It'll be a cycle line down low and a different look from the Jets. But Kevin Hayes has some nice mitts on him too. Let's be honest. He's got some good hands and he could feed Laine and hopefully get Laine fired up again.
Any other one? Now, by the way, big one you broke, Boston. Boston, New Jersey deal. We knew about Marcus Johansson. He sat out a game for the Devils. We were doing the Leaf game on Thursday, so they held him out. And I guess whatever trade they were talking on got held off for a couple of days. But he goes to the Boston Bruins, and that was one that you had on the radar early.
Yeah, it was. And I worked that one all day just to see what the Bruins were doing from the Bruins camp. I had a couple sources, as we like to say, and it ended up coming to fruition, a New Jersey Devil, and they picked up Johansson. I like this move. The Bruins have a lot of right-handed centermen, and that being Krejci, Bergeron, maybe the newly acquired Coyle is also a right-handed centerman. So Johansson's a left-handed guy who could take draws, and he could be a good guy in the power play. He's got nice hands on him, nice disher. So I like this pickup by Don Sweeney. I think it'll pay dividends in the end, and it looks like a Toronto Maple Leafs matchup. So they had to get some depth up the middle, and they did that.
Quick one. We'll just touch on the Leaf game for a second because they do beat the Buffalo Sabres 5-3. So Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Great air on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. And again, we'll hear from Mike Babcock. I chatted with Mike Babcock today. He was jogging. Yeah, when I did my hit down there with Sean McKenzie.
You and Babs, eh?
And then I came and he stopped his jog. And we chatted for about 3 minutes. And that, yeah, I've run on, you know, from time to time.
Wow.
And that, yeah. So he's... Anyway, he's good. Good shape. He's
yeah,
good
really
shape.
Good shape. Did he say hi to Savvy?
Yeah, Dennis Savard.
Oh, okay.
Dennis Savard, he said to say hi to. And Andre Savard, another former player. But anyway, I'm sure you were part of it as well. No, he moved on. We chatted. You know, running on that concourse, that's hard on your legs, though. I felt like saying, you know, is there somewhere softer you could run?
But he usually likes to make a quick jog before he does his media availability. You know, he likes to put a little sweat on for the fans.
So it looks good. Well, anyway, his team, we'll talk about an interesting kind of game tonight on the night the trade deadline ended. And, you know, again, you talk about, it's interesting that the Leafs maybe were trying something big, or there's talk they were trying something big, and it could have been with the Los Angeles Kings. a lot of ways, Kyle Dubas and the Leafs are the ones that got it going with the Jake Muzzin trade. I mean, that was basically a trade deadline deal, even though it was a couple weeks ago. But you give up your first-round pick, which is really almost a mandatory chip that you have to have in play right now when you're talking about any kind of deal.
Yeah, he made a splash 3 weeks ago, let's be honest. And he was very comfortable with that, and I think the Leafs were as well. And this is a good hockey player that, you know, when he came to the Leafs, he really produced in the first three games. He's lost his way a little bit of late, but he'll find that. It's just getting used to the culture, getting his family settled, and I think once you see that, he'll step up again. But yeah, Kyle Dubas made his move earlier, as he explained today, and this team's a good hockey team, Gord. And like we said earlier, they've had Tampa Bay's number. I know they didn't win them the first game in Tampa Bay, but they certainly have played them. That was the game we said Vasilevskiy was the goaltender of the year that game. That was the best goaltending performance we've seen all season.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've seen a lot of pretty good ones from Freddie, but you're right. That's still the best one.
That's still the best one. And then they went in there and beat them the next time. So they've got Tampa Bay's number, but can they get past the Boston Bruins is still yet to be seen.
You know, a couple things when you talk about trade deadline, and I've always mentioned it, that say for the Anaheim Ducks, who made a very interesting trade with Buffalo, Brandon Montour was not able to play tonight. He's arrived there, but wasn't cleared to play yet for the Buffalo Sabres coming over in that trade from Anaheim. But as if, you know, getting Corey Perry healthy there, and for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's getting William Nylander, you know, going. And, you know, he's going better. He had a good game against Montreal. Maybe it was maybe his best game of the season. But that'll be a real plus with the fit. And it seems consensus-wise, what you talked about, that as much as the young guys really like Patrick Marleau, that the third line, he seems to fit in well there, and that seems to have been a good little thing that's kind of unplugged a logjam by moving him there.
It really has. It gets Patrick Marleau better looks. He's facing better competition for his level now, is what I was getting at. Janssen really adds to Marleau, to Matthews with the speed and Kapanen, and then he just slots in better there. And I thought maybe had the Leafs done something today, he might even drop down one more line. But it looks like the fourth line is in good hands now. Gauthier had a big night, Moore up with an assist, and also Ennis on the other side. So it looks like they're headed in the right direction.
That's the interesting one about Trevor Moore, because Mike Babcock from the word go just talked about it when he had a couple good games and he kind of shooed the media. Hey, he's not staying here. He's going to go back and he's going to play. And when he comes up, he's going to play. He's got to play full-time in the American Hockey League and learn about being a pro and then come up here and not just get odd shifts, but ultimately, you know, be a big part of it. He got a little over 6 minutes tonight, but he really contributed. And I can see now as they try to figure things out about Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Janssen and other contract issues that, and now they're talking about Connor Brown at $2.33 million, maybe being problematic next year, that a Trevor Moore is the kind of guy you're saying, we're going to probably have him in the lineup the next 2 years. And it's best to have him, you know, based on merit rather than just because his salary fits in.
Yeah, this is a great move by the Leafs, bringing this guy up. The speed he has, the wit around the net, and obviously, you know, he's a plus two tonight. He played a solid game. I know he only played 6:29, and they're going to find these guys more ice time. He had three hits tonight, a lot of energy, provide a lot of energy. But it's nice to see that fourth line chip in. They haven't chipped in often this year. Obviously, with Lindholm, he had one goal in the whole season. And Freddie, you know, it's nice to see him get off the shine and get one tonight.
So the Maple Leafs, boy, 29-0-0 when leading after two periods of play. So they keep that record intact. Joe and Jim were mentioning tonight that against Buffalo, they had a lead after two periods of play, lost a lead, then came back and won the game. So that record is perfect. And Freddie Anderson, again, a big part, made some big saves. And we'll find out later on when you have to pick that Direct Energy Home Services player of the game. So we're going to do that at the top of the hour. Like we say, we'll get all our ducks in a row about tonight's game. So first, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers.
You got hiccups?
No, just saying, reminding everyone it's a 5-3 win for the Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. But I was going to say trade deadline. So your first one, so I'm curious, and probably fans are, like, what's it like? You're not going to throw anyone under the bus, but just guys in general, you're with the big group. So what was the big group like, hanging with different people that you know some well enough, but some you don't know so well? So then a little bit of a social gathering after.
Yeah, no, it was great chemistry all day. We got along great. There were some good breakdowns and some good rumors flying around in the room. But at the end of the day, it's a slow day. You're waiting for something to break, and that Stone deal just kind of killed everything. It took forever to come through. and we sat around all day and we tried to make stories up and not make them up, but just talk about old stories and move on about stuff. It was, we had a lot of fun up there in the Amber Lounge, they were calling it, and we had a good
day. He's a good guy, David Amber.
He's a great guy, and he did a great job of you know, keeping us in line at times. We tried to slide a little away, and Doug McLean had his 5 cents a couple times. It might have ended up adding up to 25 cents, but he's a great guy too, and Bieksa did a great job. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Kevin Bieksa, yeah.
Bieksa? Yeah. I chopped it up all day long, but anyways, he answered me every time I talked to him, and Colby's Colby. So we had a blast up there. Breaking some news all day long. And obviously I got some good word out of the Bruins camp and the New Jersey Devil thing. So I was able to be a bit of an insider myself. So I enjoyed the day all in all.
Now, you know, I really like Doug.
You look good too. You looked real good.
Did I look good on my hit?
With McKenzie today.
Look
you
okay?
Looked really good.
Okay.
Really tight.
Good.
It's a haircut.
Good.
It's a haircut.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
You know, with Doug McLean years ago, I like Doug as well, but there was a Saturday show on Sportsnet, the hockey show. And I'd be on the odd time. I wouldn't be on. And then I'm on once. And you can't get a word in edgewise with him, right? And then he asked, and then he asked me, it's December, and he goes, look, can you do my show December 22nd or something, like a Saturday? Because then I can go home for Christmas early. So anyway, I said, I think it was during, he asked me, we're on the show, and I said, okay, if you don't let me speak, I'm not going to do the show, okay? If it's like last time and you don't let me speak, and you know what? He let me speak because it was
I
like,
bet.
He wanted to get home and all.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a good guy. I kind of kid him about that time, but he's always got fun, always got an opinion that way. So you guys were kind of fun dissecting things. And Burke's good that way. You think about all Brian Burke's, whatever you think, whatever people want to think about Brian Burke as an analyst or commentator, fine. But to do everything he did, and he was president of the Calgary Flames until last June. So he's as connected as any active general manager is right now.
I don't know if you could hear it on the TV, but he got emotional sometimes and loud. And because we're sitting up a bit above him.
Yeah.
But there were some times where he was getting really emotional and really loud about some of the moves that were made today. Like he was really peed off about some of the general manager's decisions, and he had some great insight. And you know what? He's to the point and he's honest, and it makes great for great TV.
Now, where'd they keep Stevie Dangle? He was up top, right?
Stevie Dangle is way in the back room with Carolyn Cameron. They were in the
it's where you do ice surfing.
Surfing. Yeah. That's where we do ice surfing. Thanks for picking that up.
Did they let him out at all?
They never let him out. He was locked up tight, but he's hilarious. He had some good lines. And I went up in the Karen Cameron room and told a couple stories about my trade deadline days. And it was a good thing. But he's a funny guy, and he got a couple laughs today.
They missed him for the picture. They took a picture and they forgot about Stevie Dangle.
They forgot Stevie Dangle. And he was upset about it. Don't kid yourself, because he loves to post stuff on Twitter.
There was Savvy looking resplendent. I noticed in the picture, did Kipper take a step forward at the last second?
Did he? He wanted to be that guy that lays in front of the cup.
I don't know. Did you just kind of like notice that at the last second?
Yeah.
You know, with the whole gang going on there. So Elliot, Chris Johnson, and John Shannon were breaking things down. They were sort of the chasers. And then you had Kelly Rudy and Brian Burke, Kipper and Jeff Merrick were the one panel.
Yeah.
And then the Amber Lounge was you guys.
The Amber Lounge was us.
That was a good
fit.
And
then they had the trade breakers with Elliot, our friend
Chris
Johnson. That's what
they call them. Elliot, Chris Johnson, and Shannon.
And your friend John Shannon.
Yes. All our friends.
All our friends.
So what was Burke getting emotional about?
He was just getting really loud. I think it was on the Leafs front. He was really loud about how they haven't made a move yet. He was loud on the Johansson deal, to Boston.
Boston, yeah.
He didn't know where he fit. He was very loud on that. And you said you had an answer for that.
Well, he said, yeah, because it's funny. He goes, I text, again, he knows all the general managers. And he goes, look, I'm not denigrating the trade. I just don't see where he fits in their line. So I know Don Sweeney well, so I just texted him. Where is Johansson going to play? And he just texted me back, said Boston. Anyway, that's the kind of connections he has that worked out really well today. Who else did you think just off the top? Was there another trade that you kind of liked
I think the real sleeper trade in the whole deadline is Michael Granlin to Nashville. And I just think that he's a great hockey player. And I remember him last year in the playoffs vividly for the Minnesota Wild, having a great series against the Winnipeg Jets. And I just think that Nashville made a great trade here, Granlin for Fiala. I think they upgraded big time. And I think he's going to bring a lot of spunk and a lot of offense to this Nashville team. He's a smallish center, but they got some big wingers there. They got some big guys to play around him. And I think this is a nice fit. And obviously, one of his new wingers might be Wade Simmons himself. So I like what Nashville went out and did today, and I think they got to be still the favorite in the West.
Yeah, they added Wayne Simmonds as well, and you're right. I mean, 2 years ago, they were the novelty, and it was fun, and they barely made it, and they went far. Last year, the President's Trophy, so it still was fun, but they didn't get to the final. Vegas did, and I don't think they didn't get to the third round. Winnipeg eliminated them. So this year, yeah, they've got to go further, and you know, David Poile's done more of these than anybody else, and goes gets two solid additions that way.
And yeah, and I don't mind what Winnipeg's did today. A lot of moves, a lot of smaller moves, but they did add Kevin Hayes, and I think it's a big pickup, and Par Lindholm.
Very nice. Par Lindholm. We say adios to Par Lindholm. We will talk about the Par Lindholm-less Leafs. How about that? First game without him, a 5-3 win over the Buffalo Sabres. When we come back, as we said, we've been busy talking NHL trade deadline moves all day. We'll continue chatting about that, but we got to talk about the Leafs. A win tonight at home against the Buffalo Sabres, 5-3. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll hear all the goal calls. You always like those from Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, our Direct Energy Home Services player of the game, and much, much more. Out-of-town scores as well. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Blue and white at night.
We own the night.
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Eichel playing it back to the blue line. It gets by the defense. Here's a race now with Kapanen going in on goal. Guard! Holy mackerel, what a turn of the net! An enormous save by Anderson and a shorty from Happy.
There we go, Joe Bowen. His voice is back full throttle. That was a shorthanded goal, and that kind of did it all. The Toronto Maple Leafs gave them a two-goal buffer. They beat the Buffalo Sabres 5-3 tonight. Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You know, we're going to hear all the goals from tonight's game in a second, but one thing, just trade deadline as well. It's interesting, we're just chatting off air, and you talk about different personalities, and it factored in a trade Winnipeg made today. Sometimes it's not just about statistics, it's about other things. About a player they missed.
Yeah.
Like the team value.
They did, yes. And I had talked to some players in the offseason, and Scheifele being one of them. We have the same agency that we deal with, Octagon, and he had told me that a real loss to them was Matt Hendricks last year. They felt in the room, just a raw, raw guy that gives everything he has every night. And I was really impressed to see that the Minnesota Wild traded him back to Winnipeg. Winnipeg gave up a seventh-round draft choice. And those guys are irreplaceable. You know, you love to have those guys that go to the wall for you. You know you got them in your corner every night. And they went out and picked this guy back up, Matt Hendricks.
And give Kevin Cheveldayoff credit as well in Winnipeg, because listening to the team, because last year they had such a great season. And then Vegas killed it in the playoffs and killed them at home. They were ready to celebrate, and the games were just terrible. And sometimes, not that, hey, Matt, does Matt Hendricks single-handedly make the difference? But there's a lot of those little other things that don't score up on the score sheet. And every team, nobody knows it outside the dressing room so much, but there's one or two guys that really make a lot more difference than people think. And there's one or two guys that are getting away with murder publicly that inside the team knows they don't pay the price.
Yeah, and I don't know how you handled yourself as a general manager, and I'm sure you acquitted yourself very well, but it's always nice when a general manager, it means a lot to a player when a general manager comes down and asks you for your opinion. Peter Chiarelli did that with me a couple times, asking me about a player, what I thought about this player, would I be interested in this player, and it really made you feel involved, and it's a nice thing. So I'm sure he did that, went back to his team, and consulted with the Wheelers and the Scheifeleys and said, you know, what do you think? And I'm sure they gave him the thumbs up.
Yeah, and you know, and one of the things is, and I'm a lot older than you, and I mine was
way
time
older.
Was a while ago.
Yeah.
Now I don't know why I look better, but anyway, that's different. but we, you know, Craig Lachlan, who's done a great job with the Washington Capitals color for so many times, and he's come on whatever show I've been involved with. He's just been great. And when you want to talk about the Capitals on air, off air, he's been the guy. When I was general manager, he was back then. You didn't sign a lot of free agents. They were in servitude basically until they were 33. So when a guy was a free agent, it meant the other team really didn't want him. You know.
Yeah.
So he'd had a good year with Washington. Didn't go great with LA. So we signed him for 1 year. It was kind of nice. He's from Toronto, and it just didn't. He started on a good line with Tom Ferguson, Al Secord, and anyway, it just didn't click, didn't happen for him. So we ended the season, and we were both very unimpressed with each other, okay? We couldn't have been more pissed at each other than that. And then time moves on, and all of a sudden, and he couldn't be any better, any more gracious, any more helpful. Like, perspectives put it all in context for both of us. He was a veteran hanging on for that 1 year, and you get mad because it's not happening. I'm a guy with unrealistic expectations. And so if we're ever chatting about things, and I'll bring up something about Toronto, his time in Toronto, he goes, I got amnesia. I'll just kind of smile about whatever. So we move on. But I mean, that's just interesting, those, as we move on that way. So we're going to hear all the goals from tonight's game in a second, what all happened tonight. But a guy who got to see them all firsthand, Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, joining Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Luke, you're kind of like us, I guess. Like, Savvy and I were talking about this game, but it's kind of like you've run a triathlon in the hockey media world already with all the trade deadline stuff going on.
Oh, my goodness. So this is my third radio appearance. After this, I have to do my third TV and write my third article. So, yeah, it's a long day, but it's, you know what? It's a lot of fun. And, I mean, I love all the news. I love just scrolling through Twitter and finding out all the breaking trades and the little tidbits. So I love it.
Well, you better go to a roulette wheel, play lucky number three later on tonight. How about that? Threes are wild for Luke Fox, if you get a chance. Before we talk about the Leaf game, you know, Savvy talked about different trades. He was the guy who broke the Marcus Johansson trade and other trades that caught his eye. He mentioned about, say, Granlund going to Nashville. What are a couple that you're looking at and go, man, I really like that fit for the acquiring team?
I really like Wayne Simmonds going to Nashville. I believe they had the bottom-ranked power play, and a guy like that can just stand in front of the net. He's obviously got a history of being excellent come power play time. And one of the things that helped the Predators get eliminated by the Winnipeg Jets last season was a lack of secondary scoring. And Wayne Simmonds is a guy that can do that. And I know he's kind of had a so-so year by his standards, which is probably why the price that he went for wasn't so high, but he's the kind of guy that I think with a change of scenery and knowing that he's going to be dressing for a contender, I think he'd get a bit of a second life, and he has that those intangibles, you know, that grit and that nastiness that a premium gets placed on in the postseason. So I think that was a nice pickup. And then obviously the big one of the day, Mark Stone, the fact that Vegas didn't have to give up a first rounder. I know they gave up Brännström, who's you know, probably their most prized prospect, but any chance you can get a difference maker and some other team's MVP like Mark Stone and add him to your roster that's heading to the playoffs and get an agreement to re-sign him, I think is an incredible win. And just, you know, some of the moves this team has been able to pull off in just, you know, 2 years of existence is really impressive. And I love how this expansion team has come out of the gates and just saying, we're in it. And not just 1 year, we're in it every year. That was a bold move I really liked as well.
A bit about tonight's game. You know, this was a good win for the Leafs. You know, they're continuing to build off of last game's comeback. I thought not a better time for Freddie Gauthier to have his best game of the season.
Yeah, and it was funny because I asked him after the game because he had a goal and assist, and I just kind of offhandedly said, you know, was there any chance you were considering a fight to try and get your Gordie Howe hat trick? And he said that Zach Bogosian actually offered him a fight after he scored. And, you know, Freddie kind of smiled and declined, obviously. And Tyler Ennis was saying that he's a really mild-mannered guy. You know, he doesn't have the nasty edge a man his size might have. But he had it offered to him, the Gordie Howe. So it was great to see a guy like that. And it's interesting, you know, that it came on a night where they made a trade. Their one small trade was a tweak to the fourth line in getting rid of Per Lindholm to the Winnipeg Jets. And calling up Trevor Moore. And I think, you know, Moore brings a bit of tenacity and some speed. And I think he's a perfect fit. And I don't think this team, as evidenced by this game, is going to miss a beat by replacing Lindholm with Moore on that fourth line.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could see he was a favorite of Mike Babcock's when he was up in earlier. So they were going to find a spot for him. So the game, you know, we were there for that game against Montreal, and it was just riveting. Enlightening, enjoyable to see the team come back from a 3-0 deficit What was it like today? I mean, Buffalo dominated the first. It was 1-0 rather than 3-0. And then it just kind of the Leafs took charge and then kind of hung on. It was a bit of a different game than the 40 minutes on Saturday. But still, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing that they can spot a team goals and come back, but they've done it.
Yeah, and there's kind of a quiet confidence about this group that they know they have the firepower that they can do it. And again, you know, all their goals, all five of them either came on even strength or shorthanded with Kapanen's one insurance goal at the end there. So they didn't even need the power play to pile up that many goals. And this, you know, when you talk to the guys in the room, they know that they can do that. The danger in that is that you see first periods like tonight's. The shot count was 16-6, and were it not for Freddie Anderson, and I know, you know, I might be sounding like a broken record here, but were it not for Freddie Anderson making some key saves at the beginning and again at the end, you know, they might have lost this game. But they just have this faith that they can kind of outscore their problems, and you got to think that they got to play. We'll need to play a full 60 when it comes to the playoffs. But you know, this is the speed and skill game that Kyle Dubas is banking on. And you know, they can do it. They can outscore their problems, and they know they can. And all it took was 2 minutes and 4 seconds for them to score three different goals from three different centermen. And that just goes to show you the scoring depth. And it scares teams.
Let's cut to the chase here a little bit. Kyle Dubas inactivity today. I know they got Patan, but that's just a minor move. Batiste actually had a minor league move. So what do you think? You think this is a bad decision on his part not to add today? I'm sure he tried his best, but nothing came to fruition.
Yeah, he said he tried his best, and Babcock just said that, you know, we'll never know, you know, all the things that were discussed or what they came close on. You know, there was rumors that they were, you know, poking around on Simmons, that they wanted Michael Ferland and checked back with Carolina again to get kind of that toughness. But that's going to have to come from within now. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad move because if they went for a big fish, it would mean taking off the roster, or it would mean dipping in to their prospect pool. And it's very clear that Kyle Dubas doesn't see this window as a small one. He wants to prolong this for as long as possible, and he sees the Marlies as being a key part of that. That they're going to need kind of cheaper labor once guys like, you know, probably Connor Brown, maybe one of Johnson or Kapanen move on in the summertime. So they're going to have to fuel that those forward spots from within. You know, I don't mind it. I don't think Dubas should have mortgaged too much of the future, because I think, you know, even a small trade to tweak a forward or add a fourth or 50, which is kind of the things that were being discussed. I don't know if that's the difference between beating a Boston or a Tampa. I think to overcome those teams, Freddie's going to have to stand on his head, and these guys are going to have to find a more complete game from within themselves.
I haven't watched the Marlies a ton this year, really not at all, to be honest with you. Is there someone on the Marlies team too that could add some toughness if they needed to? Is there anybody down there that's gritty that they could call up if they needed to in a fourth line role?
No, I think it's Trevor Moore. I think that's it. I mean, he's not gritty in the traditional sense, but he's got effort and he forechecks hard, and that's about all you're going to get. Actually, probably the grittiest guy might have been Carl Grunstrom, who they traded away as part of the Muzzin deal. And, you know, in terms of forwards, the next guy who has a chance maybe to crack the big team might be Jeremy Bracco, who's having a really good season down there. But I wouldn't describe him as gritty at all. He's definitely more of a skilled playmaker type that needs some more developing.
Well, we'll let you get ready for that third TV hit of the day, third article of the day. You did a great job on your third radio hit. Luke, thanks very much as always.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca joining us. Gord Stelick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-3 win for the Buffalo Sabres, the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Did you see Gritty's performance in the stadium series?
I made a quick joke that Carolina tried to acquire Gritty, but Philly wanted a first-round pick. That was my end of the show in the Amber Lounge. But, yeah, his streaking performance.
The streaking was the best.
That's the best I've seen of all time. And and I think you mentioned it. He should be in the Calder race for Rookie of the Year.
Before,
he'd be leading by far.
Like, he rappelled in, and then he ran up the stairs to the
Rocky,
theme of Rocky.
Yeah.
And then you know, what a big win for Philadelphia. Tough loss for Pittsburgh. They in overtime in that stadium series game. But then, like, nobody streaks anymore.
No.
And now if anybody runs on the field or ice, they make a point. They never put the camera on them because that brings attention. So you never – and then to see him, like just orange fur.
Running out with his underwear, swinging them. And then it was the Blues Brothers that chased him down.
Yeah, they look like Secret Service agents, whatever.
Yeah, that was great.
And then he got away from them once. It just was. Anyway, gritty performance on Saturday. I don't know what you want to call the performance tonight by the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a tough loss for the Buffalo Sabres. It was their game in hand on a number of teams. And fans not happy there because they had a gritty and great start, but not so much anymore. But first, we'll hear from the Maple Leaf coach before we play the goals in tonight's game. And Mike Babcock, here he is. It's a busy day for everybody, and nice to come up with a win.
How much of a catalyst, Mike, was the fourth line tonight getting things going for you guys in that second period?
Well, for sure. I mean, we obviously had a tough start, and so, you know, it was good. I thought Moore really brought energy. That group played with a lot of pace here tonight, and helped us a lot in the end, you know, responsible for two goals, so that's a real good thing.
Is it big, especially, you know, you guys putting your faith in the team as it is constituted now?
Well, I just think, what you do every year as a management team is no one on the outside ever knows what really goes on. And what you do is you do everything you can to help your team. And in the end, you make the best decisions you possibly can to help your club. And you always got to, you know, you always got to weigh the cost of what you're doing. And so we're ecstatic to have the opportunity that we have. We like our team. We still think there's a ton of growth from within. We think we can play a lot better. And we look forward to that. I think Moore can really help our hockey club. You know, I don't know the Patan kid is good, but we're excited to have him and we can see what he can do. And then the group we have from within, but we really feel we can play a lot better and look forward for the opportunity to show that.
Have you noticed a lot of growth in Freddie Gauthier's game over the course of the season?
Well, we're going to find out now because you get an opportunity and it's got to be every night. Freddie's got to become a good face-off guy for us and a penalty killer's got to be a guy who you can put on in the defensive zone and not worry about who the other team's coming with. That's important. And so, you know, obviously he's come a long way in the 3 or 4 years. I don't know how it's 3 or 4 or whatever he's been around. But he's got a long way to go. But as long as he competes, he's a big man. He's usually on the defensive side of the puck. We're trying to get as much speed as we can around him because that's important for him. And go from there.
Mike, you've talked a lot about the need for heaviness in this roster. It didn't come at the trade deadline. Right. Does that mean it's got to come internally now?
Well, for sure, and you know, there's two parts. Zach Hyman, we'd like to have, you know, one on each line, but they just don't make them like that. And so, I think Little John has come a long way in that area. We need Cappy to do more of that, but we have a lot of guys. Willie can really cycle the puck, and yeah, he's to commit to doing it. Matthews is way more physical on offense than he used to be, and that's important as well, and we just need to continue to grow that throughout their group. I think Moore, for the size of him, has a real, you know, got a heavy keister and hangs on the puck pretty good there, and so we need more of that.
Freddie Anderson said he feels like he's becoming more and more of a leader in the passing game. How have you seen him grow into that role this season?
Well, I just think, I went to the Worlds last year, met with Freddie and his mom and dad and his family there, and we talked a ton about that. Is leadership has nothing to do with what you say. I really believe that. It has to do with what you do and how you are in the big moments, how you are every day, how hard you compete, how mentally tough you are as a goaltender. And so that's the challenge for him every day. And in the end, your goaltender has to be one of your best players, if not your best, for you to have success in the end. And so that's the challenge for him, and he's excited about the opportunity.
Mike Babcock after the 5-3 win over the Buffalo Sabres. So he calls John Tavares Little John. Is that what he called him?
Yeah, I think he did.
Little
John.
Little John. He said it with affection.
Why is he Little John?
I don't know.
He's
I don't
Big
know.
John.
Anyway, that's probably why. That's probably why. Mike Babcock after tonight's game. We're going to give the play-by-play calls, and I know you've been busy. We've been busy. You've been busy doing a lot of things here, but we caught the game as well. And we'll play the calls in tonight's game, the 5-3-1. Always loving hearing from Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. And I got to tell you, it looked like the Leafs were going to escape a terrible first period. They get outshot 16-6, and it looks like they're going to escape with a 0-0 tie. But Leafs, and part of it was their play. They took five penalties, and Buffalo only one. And it's the Sabres on the power play late in the first period.
Yeah, a centering pass, and a wrist shot scores! Jack Eichel! The too many men on the ice, and Eichel was all by himself right in the slot, and the captain of the Sabres opens the scoring with goal number 20 on the season.
So not too much to say because it's 7 seconds after the penalty starts. So the faceoff's in the Leafs zone. It's Eichel is 20th from Reinhart and Dahlin. I guess it's just that shot speaks for itself.
Yeah, Eichel's third against the Leafs already this season. And when he's all alone in the slot, Gord, he's not going to miss too many of that. He's a great sniper from out there. And Reinhart putting together a nice season, 39 helpers on the year. And Rasmus Dahlin, the first overall pick with his 27th helper, their young guns are firing in Buffalo at the moment.
So 16-6 the shots. Buffalo is up 1-0. A very, very dull, lackadaisical first period for the Maple Leafs. And you come up, can you do it again in period number like two, like they did against the Montreal Canadiens? Well, Montreal, it was kind of a slow process here. Bang, bang, bang. And then minutes later, bang. Let's start with the first bang at the 3:48 mark.
Here's Tavares off the bench, coming in front with a backhand. No, instead he tried to feed Nylander, and that went just wide as Nylander was too well covered. Now Muzzin with a wrist shot, scores! A gilt-edged scoring chance goes for naught. A wrist shot from Jake Muzzin, and did John Tavares touch it?
Yes, he did, Joe. John Tavares is 35th from Muzzin and Dermott at 3:48. And like it looked like he was going to score on that classic backhand, John Tavares. And then the harmless one is what he gets the goal.
Little John playing the big John role here with his 35th of the year, Gord, to get the Leafs tied at one. But again, he has been everything as advertised for the Leafs this year. He's doing a great job, and that's why he has 35.
Just looking top 10. Player coach confrontations. Are you in any of these?
I might be. Have them watch.
Yeah. I don't know. We got Dallas Eakins, Taylor Hall. That's number 8. Yeah. You go back to those days. Anyway, okay, that ties it up 1-1. And here we are, less than 2 minutes later, and the Leafs strike again. Oh, that's the goal. They had technical problems on that goal. So it was Austin Matthews, his 30th. Wow. 30 goals all three seasons for Austin Matthews.
Do you
want Matthews,
me to play it? I can do
Caput it. And Janssen. Okay, go ahead.
Nah, I'm not going to do it.
Okay, that gave the Leafs the 2-1 lead. As they get the lead there. And here we are. We're back without technical problems. And at the 5:52 mark, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs one more time.
A centering pass. Backhand scores! The GOAT! Frederick Gauthier, and the Leafs in the first 5 minutes and 52 seconds have scored 3 times, and it's now 3-1.
Yeah, 3 times in a span of 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Freddie Gauthier is third from Gardner and Moore.
Yeah, the GOAT getting on the board. Everybody loves when he's on the board, and usually when he does get on the board is 3 times this year. The Leafs win most of those games, and I thought this fourth line did a great job all night. They added energy, and they only played 7 minutes between the three of them, but it was a well, hard-played 7 minutes for the boys, and it made it a 3-1 game at that point.
3-1, they're leading. You're still not in one of the top ten. They had the great great Gibbons and Ted Lilly one. Now they just add, you forget about Tom Brady with the offensive coordinator. That was a good one as well. Hey, but sometimes championship teams, that's what it's all about. And here we go. The Leafs add another one. It's quite a few minutes later. Those three came just a little bit over 2 minutes, so this is 8 minutes later.
Gauthier getting it ahead. Ennis has got a breakaway. He's in a goal. He scores! What a great pass from Gauthier! And the former Sabre makes it 4-1.
There we go. It's Tyler Ennis, who's been playing great since he came on board for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He comes up with his ninth goal of the season from Gauthier and Riley at the 13:07 mark.
Yeah, and again, the fourth line, you know, really standing out tonight to me, doing a great job in only a few minutes. They didn't have a lot of minutes tonight, but they really helped their team win. And if you can get this out of the fourth line, Gord, on a regular basis, it's really going to help you get more W's than not. And tonight, Tyler Ennis gets his ninth. Good for him. Gauthier chips in again with his ninth helper, and Morgan Riley. We can't say enough about him, his 46th helper of the year. And the Leafs seemed like they were off to the races here, Gord, but Buffalo was not done yet.
No, they were not home and cooled out. They looked like they were. Buffalo gets a power play, and then for only the second time this season, the Maple Leafs are two men down. Nikita Zaitsev takes another penalty, and the two-man advantage just in the waning seconds, Buffalo strikes.
Dahlin to Eichel. Eichel walks the line, gives to Ristolainen, and the one-time shot, the rebound in front, scores! Sam Reinhart really didn't get much on it, but just enough to get it over the pad, the outstretched pad of Frederik Andersen. And with 3 seconds left in the first penalty, the Sabres are going to score a 5-on-3 goal.
Yeah, too much with their power play clicking, a 5-on-3. Sam Reinhart is 18th. From Skinner and Dahlin at 17:25.
Not only was his 18th, Gord, his 57th point of the year. I did not think Sam Reinhart was going to turn out to be this hockey player. After watching him as the first couple of years, his feet were really slow, and I didn't think he'd be able to keep up to the NHL pace, but boy, was I wrong. He's having a hell of a season, and that made it 4-2?
4-2 at the end of the second period. Shots on goal, 17-10, favoring the Maple Leafs. But listen to this one. You got a two-goal lead. And much like Eichel scored in the last minute of play in the first period, here we're talking 9 seconds in.
Here's Eichel in now with a 2-on-1 and a shot, and he scores! Jack Eichel gets the Sabres right back into the game. Just 9 seconds into the period, coming down the right wing and snapping it off the far post and in. And the Buffalo Sabres are within one.
Ouch, 9 seconds. Jack Eichel from Pominville, Ristolainen, and pretty well off the opening faceoff of the period.
Yeah, not only his 21st of the year, not only the tying goal of the game to make it 3-3 at that point. No.
It cuts 4-3. It down to 4-3, yeah.
4-3 at that point. But his fourth goal against the Leafs already in two games. So Jack Eichel feeling it against the blue and white. But it would not be enough tonight, Gord.
No, it wouldn't be. But they were pressing. It's 4-3, Sabres on a power play late in the period, and...
Eichel playing it back to the blue line. It gets by the defense. Here's a race now with Kapanen going in on goal. Scores! Holy mackerel, what a turn of the net! An enormous save by Andersen and a shorty from Cappy.
There you go. Kasperi Kapanen just described there, unassisted, the shorthanded goal.
Cappy days are back again, and there he went, and he got... When he's off on a breakaway, no one's catching him. It's just a matter if he's going to score or not. And this one he did to get his 19th of the year and to put the Sabres away.
Put them out of their misery. It's a 5-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Shots on goal, 10-8 for the Leafs in the third period of play. Leafs outshoot Buffalo narrowly, 34-33. And one more piece of business, our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. And this might be a guy, I'm thinking to pick a guy that hasn't won it before.
Gord, I got to say, these are one of the best 7 minutes ever played by a Maple Leaf. Frederik Gauthier, 7:01 tonight.
The GOAT,
1-1, 2 points, plus two, 3 shots on net, 1 hit. He even threw a hit. The big GOAT threw the body around. 6-3 in the circle, 6 wins, 3 losses. He did it all, and that's why Frederik Gauthier is a Direct Energy hardest working Leaf, because he played with a ton of Direct Energy.
That was it. Freddie Gauthier getting that award, that kind of team game. Of course, we're going to have the game for you Wednesday. The Maple Leafs will be hosting the Edmonton Oilers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yeah. Yes, what's up? We had a lot going on during the day, NHL trade deadline, but tonight there was a hockey game. And the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-3 winners over the Buffalo Sabres. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sam McKee, Andrew Holland as well, piloting our ship on Leafs Nation postgame. Dave McCarthy joining us from NHL.com, Sirius XM as well. And Dave, we're just saying it's kind of weird. It's like a game in some ways was anticlimactic to a busy long day for those of us in the business.
Yeah, it was certainly not a lot going on in the first period. It almost put me to sleep, Gord, to tell you the truth. If you're the Leafs, you can't be happy. They certainly received the game in the first period. They were outshot 16-6, but you know, I think it was a case of superior talent taking over in the second period. And then apart from a lapse 9 seconds into the third, I thought the Leafs pretty well controlled the play the rest of the way. So encouraging to see their ability to come back tonight as they did on Saturday, an even worse deficit, 3 goals down against Montreal. But that's one thing that I think this team needs to really sort of work to zero in and dial in on, is to not get down in games early on. Frederik Andersen said that after the game tonight. He said, look, you know, we can't be in a position where we're chasing games. We didn't like the first period. We knew if we weren't better, we weren't going to get any points. But he said, we have to expect teams to bring their best, and we have to be willing to match that. He said, once we get rolling, we feel like we can compete with anybody in the league. But come playoff time, as you guys know, if you dig yourself too deep a hole too early on in the game, it's just too hard to come back.
How do you feel about how today went for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Are you upset they didn't add to this hockey club, or are you comfortable with what they have?
I mean, I'll just put it this way. I'm not going to say whether I'm upset or not, because nobody really cares about my opinion. I'll put it this way, though. I'm not surprised they didn't add. I think the biggest question mark was, would this team look at adding some grit, some toughness, some size, a guy like a Wayne Simmonds? That type of guy. I wasn't expecting him to do it, because Kyle Dubas has been very clear in his mandate over the last couple of months. I asked him a couple of months ago, would you look to add that type of a player? And he said, look, we've charted our course. We are the team that we are. We are built on speed. We are built on skill. And I'm prepared to be judged, rightly or wrongly, on that decision. So I wasn't expecting the Leafs to go out and add anybody like I just mentioned. Do I think it'll come back to haunt them? I don't know. I mean, there's certainly the talent there on that roster. But like I was saying a moment ago, if they're not going to put it together on a consistent basis right at the start of the game, that could present them some issues in the playoffs. If they play the way they did, sort of from the second period onwards, I think they can beat a lot of teams in this league.
I don't know about you, Savvy. I don't care what he thinks.
I got no interest.
just kidding you, Dave. Starting off.
Well, no, but for real, though. Right? Nobody cares what I think. I'm just telling you what
people
what
do
I
care what you think.
What the guys are saying in the room.
Well, people do care what you think. That's what we're busting you at the end of a long day, having fun with it. The other thing about what else captured your eye about certain moves that you said, yeah, I like that fit. You know, and I guess to go up one step more, where I agree with you, Dave, is the Maple Leafs got to start winning playoff games and playoff series, right? Or got to win playoff series. And that's kind of maybe Nashville might have been a team that intrigued you, because Nashville was the fun team 2 years ago going deep in the playoffs. But now it was their first time, but now getting a little serious and there's more expectations.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, from a Leafs standpoint, they're no longer the fun, happy to be there team. It's real business now. It's real time. It's time to start winning something. Because I'll put it this way, 2 years ago when they lost the Capitals, the locker cleanout day, even though they lost in 6 games, it was a pretty jubilant event. Guys were like, look, we made the playoffs. This was great. Nobody expected this. Look at all this young talent around this room. We're going someplace. The next year, a year ago, I mean, there was some disappointment, sure, but I still think there was a sense of a positive outlook. This year, if they get bounced in the first round, it's going to be doom and gloom on locker cleanout day. Nobody will be happy. And that's an indication that you know, frankly, it's a good thing for this team because it means that they have a chance, right? You're happy at the end of a year when you lose, when you feel like you hit your ceiling and you got to a place that nobody thought you were going to get to. You're disappointed when you lose because you feel you have a chance, and that's what you ultimately want to get to, and that's what the Leafs have this year. But it's up to them now, it's incumbent on them now to make sure they take advantage of the opportunity before them.
What do you want to see from this Leafs team moving forward in the last 20 games of the season? Is it consistency in their lines? Because I know Matthews hasn't really had real running mates. Obviously, they're going to wait for Kadri to come back to really secure that. What is it down the stretch that you want to see from this Leafs teams besides good starts? Because they haven't had great starts most of the season.
Yeah, I think the lines will still be in flux to an extent until Kadri gets back. But I think ultimately, if I had to bet, what they'll arrive on is Nylander back on the Matthews line with Johnsson and Kapanen and down with Marlowe and Kadri in a shutdown role and leave the Tavares line alone. And I think right now, honestly, it's training camp for the fourth line because there's jobs open. And Freddie the Goat put in a bid today to retain his job. I think they're going to give Nick Petan a look, but there's jobs to be won now on the fourth line. So that'll be intriguing to see how the lines sort of sort themselves out as we approach the playoffs. You're right, though. The start is really important, but just really to dial in and to play more of a playoff style of game. Look at teams like the Washington Capitals, the Winnipeg Jets, those type of teams that play heavy styles that create when certain opportunities aren't necessarily there. They don't just take what's given to them. They force the issue. Leafs haven't done that enough for me on a lot of occasions. If there's something there to be taken, they can outskill you all day. But how many times do they create when something's not there? Win those tight games. Be able to grind out wins down the stretch of a third period. That, to me, is the key to have success in the playoffs. That's, to me, the sort of the next level that this Leafs team needs to get to in order to be a contender in the playoffs. They can beat a lot of teams on skill alone, but that doesn't win in the playoffs all the time. To win 16 games, you need to play the way I just talked about. Create when it's not there. Grind out wins late in the third period. Suffocate teams. That's what I need to see out of this Leafs team.
Dave McCarthy joining us, NHL.com, SiriusXM Radio, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. By the way, someone tweeted us back, Little John is Andreas Johnsson. That makes more sense. Yeah, we were getting mixed up about, you know, thought John Tavares? No.
That's Big John.
Yeah. So there we go. We were missing the obvious. Like I said, it's that kind of day. You're rattled all day about it. You know, Alan Walsh just tweeted something out. He's a player agent that tweets a lot. But there has been some people saying, first, tongue-in-cheek, that it should be a holiday in Canada. But the other one about why are there, and sometimes people say this about Hall of Fame night as well, any NHL game scheduled on trade deadline night or not. And I don't know if you're of that mind or not. I know it's trouble scheduling. I mean, I don't have a problem, but I kind of look at it tonight, man. Tonight's game really has a different vibe to it because of trade deadline day.
I am so in that boat, it's not even funny. This game, I was sitting there in the first period, and I thought to myself, this game really has the feel where both teams are almost just want to get this game out of the way, like it's a throwaway game. But in a weird way, like certainly for the Buffalo Sabres, it's not a throwaway game. They needed those 2 points. So it has a weird vibe. I totally agree that there should be no games on trade deadline day. And I'd love to see, frankly, all the GMs get in the same room, kind of like a mid-season GM meeting type of thing, where a mid-season draft type of format, where everyone's in the same room and you can put it on TV and you can actually make something more out of it than, you know, corny shtick over an 8-hour telecast when literally nothing is happening. But that's what you got to resort to because nothing is happening. I'd be so in favor of that. I mean, I can't remember if it was late October or early November. There was a random Friday where there were no games on the schedule. And I was like, all right, what is this? Why? So, you know, why can't we have that random Friday where there were no games on the schedule tonight? when you can make something out of it on trade deadline day, and for that matter, throw the Hall of Fame in there too, because that's awkward with games when clearly there are some people who would rather be attending the Hall of Fame to commemorate whoever it is getting in that year.
Well, I know it's our good friend, Savvy's new good friend, because they worked together on trade deadline, John Shannon, a couple of years ago when he was in charge of all the TV and that. He pitched that there would be no games and trade deadline would be it would start in the afternoon and would be a primetime special. Deadline would be 10 p.m., so it would be an evening special. And whether you logistically had one representative from every team there or something, but you did it that way, and there's I mean, people love it in prime time. I think it would kill.
100%. John knows what he's talking about in that sense. I'm totally on board. I just think the way the trade deadline has become, it's become this joke, you know, for a week leading up to it every year. Oh, no, don't trade a guy now because whatever. Like, a lot of the big trades happen before the deadline, and then you're either just left to recap whatever's happened or, you know, talk about Bogdan Kislevich being traded to the Winnipeg Jets. You know what I mean? Those type of deals. So any way that you could maximize it into a made-for-TV event, from the league standpoint, I think that would be brilliant because puts more attention on the sport, drives revenues up. That's what it's all about. I think there's a lot of room for growth to be had with the way the trade deadline is orchestrated, and I hope that we work toward that because I think that would be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, we'll see if that ever happens, but we certainly, this was a great made for radio event when you joined us, so thanks very much, Dave. Appreciate it very much, okay?
Always good to be on with you boys. Keep well.
Yeah. Dave McCarthy joining us from SiriusXM and SiriusXM and NHL.com.
I'm going to one-up you both. How about a roster freeze a week before the trade deadline? A roster freeze. So you can't make any trades a week before the trade deadline. And my last thing, next time, Sam, can we get Dave on when he's not on the treadmill? If we can. He's on the treadmill right now. You ever seen those walking treadmills in your office? People have them. They're underneath their desk, and you can literally walk on the treadmill while you're talking. And
wait,
Dave,
so right now we could have one?
Yeah. Me and you should get those treadmills in sports, and they would pay for that for us, wouldn't they?
You're saying Dave was on a treadmill?
Dave was on the treadmill tonight talking to us. Yeah. He missed the subway, so he hopped on the treadmill.
It's I remember we had one guy once on St. Louis. He was bowling. He gave on. He was bowling. So someone talked while he took it, because bowling's big there, and took a shot there. Anyway, I think Dave's just tired from a full day, and your idea of the roster freeze. I like when you just think things off the top.
The roster freeze into a primetime event that ends at night. I think that is one thing they're missing. Like, why the 3 o'clock deadline? Why don't they bring it to a 10 p.m. deadline so people from work can get home and listen to most of this stuff, because they're losing a big audience.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to remember, you were on the same panel with John Shannon, I think. You were in the Amber Room. So Shanny was
Amber
with
Lounge.
Okay,
please.
The Amber Lounge.
Yeah.
And that. But anyway, you know John well enough, right?
Yeah. John and me go back to my first day at Hockey Central. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess you wouldn't know him from before.
He was very nice to me my first
day. Yeah. He always is. Always is. And we will, of course, get back to the game, because we will hear from Luke Fox, sportsnet.ca, at the game. Also, all the calls in tonight's game, and it was a pretty interesting back-and-forth type tilt that way. But it is true. I mean, so you said you are for no games on trade deadline.
Big time, yeah. Big time.
I think this night kind of...
If the league's trying to sell it better, I like the primetime hour with the late-night, you know, deadline, and then obviously the no games. I think it just makes total sense, Gordon. You're genius. So you should be calling Bettman upon all of us, but make sure you're on the treadmill. He'll listen.
Yeah.
Better.
And by the way, the Philadelphia Gritty.
Gritty's my
favorite. He wrote about it. He calls Bettman Gare, G-A-R. He did a blog about me down, and he calls him Gar, G-A-R. Anyway, well, I don't know if it was Gritty tonight, but it ends up being a win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Don't forget Wednesday, just see Connor McDavid and him sitting with Wayne Gretzky watching the game as they are in Nashville tonight. And they'll be here on Wednesday, their only visit with Connor McDavid back in the lineup. But more on the Leaf-Buffalo game when we return. Great job, Savvy, as well, all day and that and all night. Great job, Andrew.
Great day, buddy.
Sam as well, Andrew Holland and Sam McKee. And we'll be back with more of tonight's game. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.